RadioInfluence.com. The future is now.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. So, how was your weekend?
It was pretty exciting, but you know, it would be a lot better if I wasn't getting this. I fended off much of what Aurora had. I didn't get the fever, but I still have last night the histamine stuff hit me. I got this leaky faucet nose, and so I've just been spraying my sinuses out and the teas and everything else. So I've been feeling like trash the last couple of days, but getting better.
Oh, that sounds lovely. Speaking of nose sprays, Frank.
Yeah. You think that I'd be like a Superman, and I wouldn't get sick with anything with all the damn zinc and everything else I'm taking.
Well, the question I need to ask is, where did Aurora get it?
I don't know. Maybe because she steals all of our cell phones we're not watching and puts it in her mouth.
Oh.
I don't know. It's who the hell can, who knows? It could be anything at this point. But, you know, thankfully her fever broke in like 12 hours. And now she just got a little bit of a stuffy nose. So we stick this sucker thing up her nose.
Yep. Isn't that fun?
It is. Well, she screams like the Dickens. But so I feel a little bit bad. But man, oh, man, when we hold her down and we get it up there and Lauren pushes the button and it starts just, holy hell, the stuff it takes out. I feel so good for her.
Yeah.
I wish she would feel good for herself, because she gasps for air when she's eating because she can only use her mouth right now, because she's just, you know, it's just like that little post cold congestion.
Yep.
Whatever. But yeah, I heard that now they're coming after X-Clear.
They're coming after X-Clear. It was just a matter of time. You know, X-Clear is the nasal spray that I've been talking about on this podcast since like early summer, if not a little bit earlier. And
that's what I use.
Yeah, it has xylitol and grapeseed extract in it. And I have shared before all of the studies that show that it is proven to decimate COVID-19 in the nasal passages or in vitro, or all the other stories that I've had to show everyone. And, you know, no, it's not the one recommended by the FLCCC. They say 1% solution of iodide with diluted to do it. But I've read enough studies about X-Clear that I know I don't want to dilute anything, make a mistake. I don't feel like going through the math. So I just spray this up my nostril. My nostril's like, what, 3-4 times a day when I'm going to be around a bunch of people, and in the morning and at night when I'm not. And I've been, knock on wood, pretty lucky so far. And it's really great for allergies. It's great for sinus issues. It's great.
So, oh, I will say this, that whenever the nose just started leaking and I just felt that itchiness by my eyes and stuff like that, I would spray it up there and it would sting like hell for just a second. And then it would stop running for at least an hour.
Yep.
So it really is great in that respect. And so, I slept pretty good too.
Well, that's great. Because it does work. So this is what happened. They applied for an emergency use authorization based on these studies, and they were denied because they had first applied for a medical device EUA, given that there's a spray, a nozzle, and all that stuff. So the CDC responded to them, hey, no, you're actually a medicine. You should apply underneath that. And they've had these studies on their website, and the CEO of the company has had a little pop-up on their website saying, tell the CDC that this works to stem the spread of COVID. And to help people get better. And the data support it. The data supports it. It's clear as day. Yeah. And of course, now the government is suing them for, you know, claiming something works that, quote, doesn't work. Of course, because why would something as easy as having people spray their nose a few times a day be something that's allowed? Why?
It can't. There's no, that's the most suspicious thing for out of all of this kind of a situation that we find ourselves in all the time. Now, even outside of the whole pandemic theme of the last year and a half, when people are constantly told that there are no practical solutions available except one very specific one that is controlled by very specific people, that should be the most suspicious thing to anybody. That should drum up so much distrust in any critically thinking person. How the hell is it that there is no practical application for keeping your nasal passages clear?
Yeah.
During all this? Yeah. I mean, seriously, how in all of this, when they talk about, you know, swabbing the mouth, swabbing the nose, that this is where we see all the viruses build up and things like that, these points of contact, how in any way, shape or form can you say there's no practical application of just keeping these areas clean?
You can't.
It makes no sense. You can't say that.
No, it makes no sense. And, you know, it brings me to the point, like yesterday there was a thread on Twitter and somebody was like, you know, whenever anybody comes and says they're taking the horse paste, I tell them that Merck came out and said that this medicine doesn't work. And they're the ones that stand to profit from it the most. And I'm like, you're an uninformed a-hole. Because Merck doesn't have a patent on ivermectin anymore. They actually stand to lose money from people being on ivermectin. They stand to lose it. And I made a point to say, too, that ivermectin works best in the beginning of the disease course because it inhibits viral replication of COVID. It stops replication. So if you're already 7 days into COVID and you start taking ivermectin, it has shown to have some benefit. But it's nowhere near the benefit that you get if you start taking it very early. Mm-hmm. But still, these are like, why would anyone in their right mind be against these simple things that people can do, like including the gargle, Frank? Like people can just go out to the store, get Crest 99% and gargle with it and feel more comfortable that they're cleaning out their nasopharynx, which is where the virus starts. It begins there. It replicates there. That's where it lives.
I know.
And does it work for everybody? Is it a fail-safe? Is it, okay, if I do this, I'll never get sick? No. But I could tell you right now, you're giving yourself a hell of a better chance if you do it than if you're not. It's ridiculous. My eye is twitching now.
Well, I'm sorry to have caused this.
I was going to talk about it anyway. So it was just a good segue. But yeah. So, and another thing, you know, we've seen the cyclical nature of COVID, okay? It's going to be around forever. It seems the Southeast in particular, gets hit with it in the summer months up until around September, October. And then the Northeast gets hit with it in the winter months up until around February, March.
Hmm.
This is just what we've seen so far. So this is what happens. Why? I don't know. But that seems to be what happens. That's why you see the COVID map now in the Southeast is pretty much done with Delta. And now it's starting to pick up in other places.
What other places is it picking up?
Basically everywhere. But I did check the New York numbers yesterday just out of curiosity. And it's paltry right now. So let's see.
Paltry as in New York is actually doing nice right now?
They're doing better than most places are.
I wonder why that is. Maybe because I'm just going to ask you because I like reading all the rumor mills and you are the consummate journalist investigator. What is this that this is another way of saying you have integrity and I go dumpster diving. So while I was dumpster diving, I found an article that was talking about this this pattern that was being identified of certain states being given certain drugs and other states being given pretty much inert placebos more so than others.
Let me say, it wouldn't surprise me in the least. Nothing
because,
does.
What it comes down to is the whole idea about saline solution getting out there instead of whatever's in these shots is that a lot more saline has been given out in batches, traceable batches in blue states than in red states.
What do you mean? Vaccine?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because, you know, the saline story needs to continue to be tracked. It is huge how many times it has been found that saline was administered instead of an actual an actual shot from J&J or Pfizer or Moderna or something like that.
So you mean they're like running a clinical trial?
I really do. I do believe that they have their placebo group, and that is largely it's going to be this thing. It's just me. But I think it has popped up so much that I believe that a lot of people, especially lefties out there, have been given saline, especially the ones who have not gotten sick yet or had any kind of injuries. Oh, I feel fine. I feel great. I think that there's a lot of batches of saline that has been put out there.
Interesting theory, Frank, for sure.
Well, yeah. Well, because it adds another wrench into the mix of ever trying to figure out exactly what's going on and who to hold accountable, because there's always going to be a subset of people who have had nothing but positive experiences with one thing or another.
I will tell you, Greta Thunberg spoke out about this just this week.
Oh yeah, what'd she say?
Yeah, she's talking about the kids being forced to get the vaccine for the better good of everybody. Here's what she said.
This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope.
Nope. Wrong.
How dare you? You have stolen my dreams and my childhood with your empty words.
Your childhood.
I'm one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, you are.
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. And all you can talk about is money.
Good. Wait a second. I'm sorry, Frank. She was talking about climate change, not the vaccine.
Yeah, no, as long as the mass extinction starts with her, I don't care. I'm totally fine. I want everybody to know I'm totally fine with any life. Bring on the asteroids and everything like that. I do not care anymore. I will make sure that me and my family are together. We're going to have one last fire pit. It's going to be good. I just don't care. Just let it hit Greta's bunk bed first. I don't care.
Greta, I thought that Greta was, you know, she'd moved on from her climate change nonsense and she wanted to actually speak out about the real global tyranny and extinction event that's happening. But unfortunately for all of us, Frank, it was actually just about global warming from last year.
Can you imagine the idea of having your childhood taken away, but her childhood has been marked with being put on sailboats and trotted around the world and flown everywhere and turned into a pseudo celebrity?
Yeah.
My childhood's been stolen.
It's been taken. How dare you?
Please.
How dare you?
Please.
How dare you?
It's no sense.
So Big Bird is out, Frank. Big Bird's out talking about the vaccine. Have you seen the tweets?
I heard that Big Bird got shot up. So
Big Bird got shot up, but more importantly, underneath Big Bird is parents sharing pictures of how they've marched their little ones in and sat them down for the jab as early as Friday, like a day after it was announced they could get it. So now we've got legions of little 5 and 6 year olds running around with their parents clamoring for the vaccine for their 3 year olds once it's ready. And I just, you know, the Wall Street Journal just came out with an article. Researchers probe link between vaccination and myocarditis, right? Mm-hmm. And in the article, it makes me angry because it says here, I'm just going to read a sentence to you. Hold on. Damn it. It's behind a paywall now. Hold on 1 second. Of course it's behind a paywall. It's being mercilessly mocked. Hold on. Okay. So it says this. Myocarditis describes inflammation of the heart muscle, while pericarditis refers to inflammation of the sac surrounding the muscle. COVID-19 itself can cause both conditions, just so that you know.
Okay.
Because, you know, it makes it better that COVID can also cause this in people. But I haven't heard much about that. Have you?
No.
You haven't heard many people getting myocarditis and pericarditis from COVID out there, have you?
Then again, I mean, I don't know about any of that, but there's always an article with a new long-term symptom. Apparently COVID causes everything and it doesn't cause anything at the same time. And it's the same thing with the vaccines. They causes nothing, but it may cause everything.
About 800, this is what they say, about 877 confirmed cases of myocarditis in vaccinated people under 30 have been reported in the U.S. out of 86 million mRNA vaccine doses administered. Now, then they go on to say how rare it is. The risk is higher in the 7 days after the second dose of the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. Most of them are relatively mild, and patients get better on their own or with minimal treatment, doctors say. First of all, there's so much to unpack in just that paragraph. People, the Wall Street Journal is still propagandizing you. Understand. 877 cases they've confirmed. Those are the ones they'll allow everybody to know about. And then it says out of however many million doses, they don't say whether that's the doses given to people under 30 or if it's all of the doses in general. And then they tell you how rare it is and how it's not. That's a lifelong condition.
Yeah.
It's a heart. Kids should never be hospitalized with myocarditis. Young people should never be hospitalized with myocarditis and pericarditis ever. It's so bad for it's so bad. It's not a mild thing where, oh, no worry. It's OK. You just have a little case of myocarditis, 8 year old. Don't worry. You'll be fine. Are you kidding me?
You just have a mild case of the stroke. It's just a 7 year old. You remember when you were 7 to 10 years old, you had a really exhausting day and you just had a stroke. Yeah. Remember that.
Look,
very normal.
Patriot Czar in the Dark to Light Telegram room, who's an amazing guy and great friend of the show, said, you know, listen, I had a stroke when I was in my 20s or 19, and everybody thought that it was I was making it up or I was going insane, because what are the chances somebody so young could have a stroke? And he's like, I don't think that it's propaganda or a conspiracy that you're seeing this on the sides of buses now. And I disagree. I wholeheartedly disagree, because never before was there a broad national conversation about how frequent and common stroke and blood clots were in children.
And heart attacks. In otherwise healthy young women that have had no other problems ever before. It is not. And here it is. You get put into these little corners of absolutisms where there has never been a case where a child or a young person has had a heart attack or a blood clot or a stroke before. It's completely abnormal.
Yeah.
It is completely abnormal. And the fact that it is becoming a little bit more frequently seen and reported on is running parallel to a global genetic experiment that is being run right now. Not to say that it was ever possible that young people were experiencing these very tragic health crises and health events. It's just that they were never normal. They never will be normal. Not to say that they've never happened.
Right. Correct. And I mean, you know, you don't usually see, and I would notice this because I have family members who have had blood clots. I'm very well in tune with these, with TIAs and strokes and blood clots. Like, I know about this stuff. I would have immediately recognized the uptick in advertising. Or if they'd been around forever, I would have known that too. And it's just not the case. They're trying to normalize this as a common health occurrence in young people, and it's not. For example, look, you can throw a rock right now and find a vaccine injured person somewhere. You could throw a rock. It's the High Wire just put out a tweet, a German publication put together a list. They make very clear in the beginning, we're not saying that all of this has to do with the vaccine. But what we are saying is that we researched how frequent it is and how common it is for a relatively healthy, or healthier than most, sports player to collapse and die on a field from a heart attack over the past X amount of years, as opposed to now, where since June, we've had 75 of them.
Mm-hmm.
75 soccer players, some tennis players, dying or suffering a severe cardiac event while conducting themselves in sports. And so I see it all the time. They'll come out and say, oh, no. We've seen this before. Unfortunately, it's very common in sports players. How often is it that you hear of your favorite athlete dying from a heart attack in the middle of a game? How often, Frank?
No, it just doesn't happen. Unless it's a physical trauma. Like, God forbid somebody has a neck broken or...
Or they get hit in the chest with a ball.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. And thankfully, and thank God it doesn't.
Look, the one that's really going viral right now is the deep sea diver.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see this. What is this?
Oh, not deep sea diver. He's the world record holder for breath holding, basically. He dives. He's a diver and he does long periods of deep diving with his breath, holding his breath. That's what he does for a living. I'm just going to find it real quick. Hold on. Let me pause this. Okay. His name is Florian DeGory. And he says, I just want to share my annoying experience after vaccination and perhaps have some testimonials from similar stories about free divers. Did you get better? After my second dose, I noticed my heart rate was way higher than normal and my breath hold capacities went down significantly. During sleep, I'm at 65 to 70 beats per minute instead of 37 to 45 beats per minute. Now, when your heart is efficiently pumping and your body is healthy and your heart is super healthy, you can have a resting heart rate of 37 to 45 beats per minute, especially during sleep. That's somebody in the pinnacle of health. That means that their heart only has to beat 37 times per minute to pump all of that blood throughout their body because that's how efficiently it's working.
Yes.
So the higher your heart rate resting, it's a good measure of your health, honestly. During the day, he says he's at 65 to 70 beats per minute, which is probably right around where I'm at on a good day during sleep. He says, during the day, I'm always on over 100 beats per minute instead of at 65, even when I sit down and relax. That's incredible. Once I even reached 177 beats per minute while having dinner with friends. 10 days after the second jab, I went to see a cardiologist and he told me it's a common side effect of Pfizer. Nothing to worry about. Just rest and it'll pass.
Common side effect. That's as if you're sitting down eating dinner with friends. It's almost like sitting down eating dinner with friends, but you're simultaneously running the mile.
177 beats per minute.
Yeah, and that's not even a jog. That's a sprint.
That's like a constant sprint.
Don't tell me common nothing. If I'm sitting down. I mean, you know what that? I can't even imagine
what that felt like for him.
Yeah,
I would have thought I was going to die.
Just to sit there and have that kind of stress run through you. I would have called an ambulance.
Yeah, me too. Me too. He says I went to. 40 days after second jab, I had no progress. He's still dealing with it. So we went to see another cardiologist and got diagnosed with myocarditis and trivial mitral regurgitation, which is basically an inflammation of the heart muscles caused by the immune system and some tiny leaks of blood from the valves that no longer close properly. I'm now struggling to reach 8-minute breath hold, 150 meter dine, and I even have a DYN. I don't know what that means. And I even have a strong urge to breathe doing 40 meter dives. 30% decrease on my diving performance, roughly.
Jeez.
So on top of this, Instagram, he has a picture of his echocardiogram. He has a video of it. She's going over what's wrong, showing what's wrong. COVID-19 vaccines go through many tests for safety and effectiveness and are then monitored closely. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you guys are really, this is what I'm saying. You can throw a stone and find a vaccine injured person walking around this planet that we know of. There are millions of people who have been harmed by these things. And these idiots they think we don't realize it. Or they know we do and they just don't give a shit. It boggles my mind. And then you see the woman who had pictured of put a picture of her son sitting there getting the vaccine with Big Bird standing there in the picture above. And she says, me too, Big Bird. Like, the memes that have come out of that have been insane, by the way.
You know, the scary thing about that is that if you It's not so much you can say, well, Big Bird being able to talk about this gets a child ready to feel like it's okay. They don't have to be scared about getting it. But Big Bird, I would have to imagine, is actually selling the parents
yes.
and the children.
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
The fact that they've used a man, a 6 foot something tall man inside of a bird costume to get parents to get parents to inject their children with this fucking experiment is so startling to me.
It is. No 5 year olds are running around on Twitter reading Big Bird's tweets. I'll tell you that right now. Okay.
Right. That's all for the mommies.
It's all for the mommies that and there are mommies out there, plenty of them, who are running out with their children because Big Bird said so. Oh, Big Bird, Sesame Street's endorsing the shots, guys. Let's go do it. Come on. It's time. And there's just nothing that I am so passionate about right now, Frank, other than this whole debacle. Like, yeah, we're going to talk about John Durham again because I was wrong about Adam Waldman, which I've told everyone on Telegram and I'll happily share on the podcast here in a minute. But that does not, I wish that was what we had that was really serious right now. Like, I wish we could just focus on Spygate and have that be the biggest scandal ever in the history of the world. I really do.
That'd be wonderful.
Wouldn't you be happy about that?
But if that were going to be the case, we would have been halfway into a major deconstruction of the federal government and we would have been 4 years into it already.
Yeah.
Now, have you watched what I don't know if you read there's a couple of things that came out recently. I just read something from the Conservative Treehouse.
I did. And I think he's spot on.
Okay.
I did. Yeah.
So especially about Barr's role played in it.
Super interesting. I don't know. I don't know if that's why Barr did that or what Barr did. He's a smart man, so it makes plausible sense. And I'll tell you, I've had my disagreements with Sundance from Conservative Treehouse, serious ones. I don't really want to get into it right now, but this article in particular, I think, is pretty well done. It's talking about how there were two camps inside the federal government going into the 2016 election. The Obama camp, who were ideologues, basically, committed to communism on an ideological basis. And then the Clinton camp, who were more of the traditionally Democrat establishment looking for self-enrichment, money, and power, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what you got from it, too?
Yep, that's what I was reading.
Yeah. So
I was reading it in the bathroom.
Well, that's good. That's where all my best reading happens.
Right on the toilet. Yeah.
So he's basically making the point that there was some sort of a truce brought together between the two when Obama won because they hated each other. And there were some Obama stalwarts and there were some Clinton stalwarts inside the government. So they gave her the Secretary of State position so she could basically be Secretary of State and have her Clinton Global Initiative and her money laundering scheme and make all kinds of money, et cetera, and so on and so forth, right? And then there were the ideologues who charged along on this march towards technically implementing communism in the United States, which they did, I think, very successfully. And then there was a time where the Obama administration kind of looked around and said, well, hold on a second now. We're going to take the brunt of this if it continues when you're abusing the intelligence agencies and all the stuff that you're doing. So Brennan, who was an Obama acolyte, raises the white flag and says Hillary Clinton has this plan to target Donald Trump about Russia. And he documents that sort of almost as a failsafe for the Obama administration stalwarts like Valerie Jarrett and all kinds of the other people. Yep. Whereas then you've got the Strux, the Pages, the McCabes of the world on the Clinton side, who happily whitewash the Clinton email investigation and all of the other stuff that goes on. And they're left basically holding the bag here. So then he says that there is a statute inside of the special counsel requirements, which he lists, that states that the special counsel has to be from outside of the government. And apparently Durham hadn't resigned from his U.S. attorney spot until after he had taken the special counsel role. So if
there's only so much he can do because he's inside the government.
Well, yes and no. He's not anymore. But what they're going to argue is, well, he can't, if he touches somebody too close to the Obama side of things, they will say it's not legitimate because of this regulation. Whereas if he touches people on the Clinton side of things, they're not going to say anything because they're not on that in that camp, and they could care less what happens to the Clinton acolytes at this point, as evidenced by the fact that she's basically all but disappeared in favor of the more, you know, communistic left.
So everybody's what has been going on this entire time is smaller factions of people trying to divert attention away from Clinton, but completely trying to insulate the Obamas.
Yes. Yes. And I would argue they've done a very good job, because we're not going to see. I do think James Comey is an Obama person.
Oh, yeah. Look at the current guy who's been inaugurated president. I mean, he was a huge part in it. Joe Biden is on the record being a huge part of moving along certain narratives and certain operations and stuff like that. It's
Logan Act.
It's almost like trying to untangle spaghetti at this point.
There's
no way to really get both of these camps away from each other.
So there were a couple things that I wanted to do before we got here, but that's okay. We'll go here now, and then we'll hopefully be able to circle back around like Saki, who, by the way, has not been seen since her diagnosis. Neither is Gavin Newsom. I saw this yesterday. He got his booster shot. He mixed and matched. And, you know, I personally was of the strong belief that none of these world leaders were actually getting real vaccine, Frank.
Yeah.
Honestly, I really was. But apparently he's been missing and not seen at all. Well, other than a Halloween photo on his Instagram since he got his booster shot for family matters. He quickly canceled an overseas trip he was supposed to take. He hasn't been seen in public. He hasn't made any statement. And he's just been basically dealing with a family emergency since his booster.
I'm not completely convinced that every last person of a certain political class got the placebo. I'm not convinced that all of them got it.
Probably not. I mean, I guess not. I don't know. I just feel like they should know better given all they know. But I mean, maybe they are that stupid. Like, I don't believe Kamala Harris got the vaccine on television. I don't believe it.
No.
I just don't believe these people. I don't believe anything that they do. I don't believe that they would actually get this, or they got a vaccine of saline, like you said. But I don't know. Anyway, onto the text message from our good friend Fool Nelson, Frank.
Yes.
And he's correct. Yeah.
Yes. This came in. I was happy to pass this along.
So he says this: I was listening today. Hi, Fool Nelson. It's definitely Chuck Dolan. The business one is Webzilla that was accused of the hack in Report 166. He was connected to Danchenko's source, Olga Galkina. Now, this is the source. This is where we get into such weeds that it's almost not even worth it to go into detail on. But anyway, she had a FISA on her, so they scooped up Dolan's comms. Pass on to Tracy. Tell her I said hi. We miss her over here. I miss you guys, too.
It's just so horrible.
And I saw something from Glenn Greenwald thanking all of the intrepid Spygate researchers who he mentioned that were all mainstream journalists. And I just had to say, yeah, all right. Because literally all of them got their information from people like Fool Nelson.
Well, you know,
other than John Solomon.
Been good. It's good to see everybody. I would love to see everybody get back together again.
I wish we could do some sort of a summit where everybody gets back together. But anyway, quickly, Olga Galkina was a source to Danchenko, supposedly, who was never mentioned. And I don't even think they even ever spoke to one another. That's the weirdest thing. It's just that gets into the weeds so far that, like, even I don't care to go down that far.
Yeah.
I'm having a hard time.
I'm just following along with everybody because now that we're coming back around to older investigations in the grand scheme of things, because 4 years is ancient at this point. Now that we're coming back around to older investigations, this is almost like going back to 101 class and things like that. So it's been really nice to reconnect with everybody and get the details down again. Uh-oh.
It's been so lonely.
Oh, no.
It's been lonely, Franken. I wanted to play this song because this is what I was going to play when I admitted that I was terribly wrong about the Adam Waldman portion of the report.
Say sorry to all the people you hurt.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
Say sorry to all the people you hurt.
This goes on for an hour. We should just play my old podcast. All right, enough of that. Hold on, wait. I have something that many of you may have seen already. Maybe you, but here.
I've been walking for about 57 days and 8 hours. I'm walking from Brooklyn, New York to Del Rio, Texas, where I'll then cross the Rio Grande into Mexico and then re-enter the United States as an illegal immigrant. That way I can get back on unemployment, get free housing, and so the government doesn't punish me for not being vaccinated. I've got about another 326 miles, and then I can get back to life as normal. Better start working on my accent. Wish me luck, amigo.
Arriba! You know, the funniest things are the truest things
it's
these
so
days.
It's so true! We would be blessed with a $500,000 payment if I told Viv and William, just run over there and hide in that cave for a day or so. Did you see what my husband sent this to me this morning? I'll have to play it now because this is what, here. I'm going to just, he sends me this tweet by Cat Turd. It's this press conference. Here.
Hey, Patrick, real quick, sir. Where do you stand? You said last week that this report about migrant families at the border getting payments was garbage.
No, I didn't say that. Let's get it straight. You said everybody coming across the border gets $450,000.
So the number was what you had a problem with?
The number I was referring to.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing.
Sure.
If, in fact, because of the outrageous behavior of the last administration, you coming across the border, whether it was legal or illegal, and you lost your child.
Oh, my God.
Lost your child.
How about all the people losing their child to death, Joe? Hmm? How about all those children? Did they get $450,000 from the vaccine welfare fund that you've decided that we're not allowed to access?
I don't get you. You lost your child. If you lost your child as you were crossing a sovereign nation's border illegally, are we really working from the standpoint that a sovereign nation who has tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people crossing their border illegally, trying to sneak in and take advantage of any number of things that people have to earn in their life here, there should be no process to ascertain who people are, who these children are, if families are actually families.
Yeah.
So if you, I mean, this, what he's saying right now is that we should pay people that we still don't know who they are for the inconvenience of actually caring about children who have been smuggled across a border, caring enough about children who've been smuggled across a border to see if they're actually with parents who should just be turned around because what they're doing and what they're making their children become engaged in is illegal and inhumane in the first place. I mean, you're using them as grappling hooks. Legal grappling hooks. So the premise of all of this is so twisted.
Here.
It's so twisted. I can't stand it.
Wait, there's more.
You deserve some kind of compensation, no matter what the circumstance. What that will be, I have no idea.
Yeah, the compensation is get them on a train, and send them back to Central and South America. That's the compensation. We won't throw you in jail. Just get the hell out.
I texted him and I said, there's something seriously wrong with him. My husband goes, yeah. And I said, he legit farted in front of world leaders last week to the point that it was unavoidable to speak about it. And then
and that's what everybody thinks, that it's just a rumor. it's just a rumor that it's nothing that he possibly, when he was in Rome, had to take a poopy break, that he shit his pants in Rome. You think that was fake? Of course that was real.
Well, that was the next thing Will said. He said, dude shit himself too. And I said several times, it's a problem. He goes insane. And I said, everyone makes a mistake now and again, but geez, like, don't tell me no one out there has ever thought they were going to fart and it ended up being something else. But that's not what's happening here. He says, yeah, this is constant. Will goes, people went apeshit over Trump misspelling the word coffee. This dude stutters, forget what he's saying, falls asleep in front of crowds, farts, shits himself, and falls going upstairs to an airplane. You couldn't have said it any better from a normie's perspective.
Yep.
Way to go, Will. It's the kind of thing that turns me on.
Yeah, well, there you go. Match made in heaven.
Now, it's so funny because nobody is able to live their life anymore without being on the side of either truth or evil. Like, Will was the typical guy. He loved his sports. He loved his video games. That was what he loved to do. He could have cared less about what I was doing politically and career-wise. And not in terms of my success or anything, but just... he didn't want to know the details. He didn't want to know. It was not important to him. No more. The past couple of years, whew, now he's got like, don't blame me, I voted Republican stickers up in his garage, when it used to be like, you know, Giants flags, and he's got a big F, let's go Brandon flag up. And he's...
see?
It's a normal people. Normal people. Did you see Nancy Pelosi over the weekend?
Oh, the statement that never was, like, what the hell she was talking about.
Where was that? Where was that?
I thought I bookmarked it.
Can you? I'm going to pause it. Can you try and find it?
Well, let me see.
After intense searching, we can't find it. But there were these two girls that were sitting and basically critiquing Nancy Pelosi's absolutely incoherent discussion about the the infrastructure bill and the appropriations and I
hate that. I hate that term, by the way, because I saw it all over the television over the weekend. Infrastructure bill. There's no infrastructure. There's nothing. This is all so stupid. And it's just, ugh, God, infrastructure.
Just in, DOJ, Attorney General Garland and FBI Director Wray to announce a, quote, significant law enforcement matter later today. I wonder which American they've gone after now.
Yeah. Which office of Project Veritas, which blogger had they arrested now?
Yeah. Did you see that they actually went after Kyle Becker and that other guy that confronted the dude, Ray Epps?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that, too. It is unbelievable how they have marshaled the Federal Bureau of Investigation. How when certain people are in charge, the FBI will pack up their toothbrushes and they will go all over the world to get things done. Whatever the hell it is, no matter how petty and ridiculous it is.
Diaries.
It's, yeah.
Like, in what universe is the theft of a diary a crime that rises to the level of the FBI and DOJ raiding journalists' homes?
Don't know. I don't know.
When meanwhile, Rachel Maddow should be arrested for conspiracy. So should all the other idiot leftist hacks who were on the media every single night. Charge and Adam Schiff, for goodness sakes, he should be up there right at the top of the list. It's horrible. Just horrible. It's horrible. This is horrible.
I know.
But I like the way Project Veritas is handling it all, to be honest.
Well, I can't imagine that they're, I mean, when you can feel the hot breath of Satan on your face, I'm sure that it gives you pause and just to realize how close to hell you are. But they have righteousness on their side. They really do. They always have. And it's just a matter of how long they can keep up just winning in court, because eventually there's going to be somebody. There's going to be some, you know, like all the judges that we have. Who is that? Emmett
Sullivan. Sullivan.
Yeah, he's going to run into an Emmett Sullivan one day. That's it. And that's what I fear for him, because it's not about It's not about whether or not, oh, I hope he stays on the straight and narrow. It's just one day he's going to run into one of these Bolshevik fellow travelers who's willing to put this guy down once and for all.
I don't even know. We just need to, like, you know, you always used to piss me off when Sean Hannity used to be like, that's not the rank and file of the FBI. And I was like, they're kneeling.
It kind of is at this point.
Yeah, they're kind of, I mean, what, like Adam from the Washington Pundit always says, where are the whistleblowers when this is all going on? Where are they? Where are the whistleblowers?
I don't know. I think the whistleblowers see exactly what's going on and they understand what they're up against the better than most and are just like, okay, I'll investigate online gambling or something like that.
I don't know.
Something non-controversial. Get myself a watch at 10 years in. Get the hell out with the pension.
It's terrible.
And just keep to myself.
It's terrible. It's terrible. And, by the way, Frank, I don't know if you want to or are interested in listening to the, because it's long, but it was worth it. I had to go to an event on Saturday, and it was about a 7-hour drive back and forth in the car. So I needed something to fill that time, and I like to listen to things. So I listened to the Florida COVID Summit, and it was Dr. Malone and Dr. McCullough and Dr. Corey and a whole bunch of other folks in this summit for medical credits, continuing education credits. So it was very high level for the most part, especially from Dr. Malone, who went into the scientific like background behind how messenger RNA works and like the how it works, like literally the science behind it. He kept on apologizing, saying, you know, hey, sorry, guys, I'm going into this because this is for CE. This is for doctors. And it was so interesting. Meanwhile, we have Kamala Harris asking whether or not NASA can find racist trees. So
please find them.
I don't even know what the purpose of her question was, to see what the tree density is in urban areas. Like, what was she even asking?
It's going to become more and more nonsensical. It's already so bad in that respect, but hey.
I'm still trying to find this Nancy Pelosi clip because it's going to drive me insane if I don't find it.
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, most of the product that we've done is, except now we may have added in the last day or so. What we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill. That's a,
oh, my God.
So some is Senate oriented. And then we had the family medical aid. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in.
What the hell?
Manchin doesn't like it. So, so we are getting some third and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. Bird box, it's important. It's, you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out. So we're again getting that as we go along as well. But when we pass a bill, then they will see it in its aggregate and make some.
Any concerns that any of this is quote messaging, because that they have to?
Oh my God, I'm horrified.
Regardless, no matter what you send over, you said you weren't.
The water's not going to help.
No, we're not sending messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub.
What?
exercises we're engaged, bathing exercises we're engaged in. And we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer. You know, it is what it is. There's a certain object.
I don't know.
Tracy, I know that there are people out there who do not like anything. If Mitch McConnell and his turkey gobbler gets in front of a microphone and he starts talking about one thing or another, they might not like what he has to say. But at least you know exactly what he's trying to say.
What he's saying, right. Like, in the ever-loving hell was that?
This is bad. That's just really, really bad. I have no clue what's going on there. By the way, Aurora just walked through the door.
Hi, Aurora.
Say hi. Say ooh.
Ooh.
She's looking around. She likes all the colors on the screen. Okay. that's all I had to say about that.
We're done. So you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can hear us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. We will see you back here Wednesday.
Later.
I'm Jerry P. Tuck, CEO of Radio Influence. I just wanted to take a quick moment to say thank you for downloading and subscribing to this podcast. There are a lot of people behind the scenes here at Radio Influence that work hard to keep you entertained day in and day out. If you'd like to get involved and advertise on this program, or you have some show ideas that you'd like to see us add to the Radio Influence family, please email us at contact@radioinfluence.com. We all have crazy schedules, so the fact that you took time out of your busy day to let us entertain you for a while means a lot. Without you, the listeners, we wouldn't exist, so thank you again for downloading and subscribing to this show. Don't forget to check out RadioInfluence.com to see what other shows we also have to offer. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.